and welcome to the DeFi Daily, a 10-minute or less DeFi and crypto update. I'm Amy, here with Pat, and today is Wednesday, January 20th, 2021.
Bitcoin's holding steady, 34,745, down 1.9%. Ethereum, after hitting all-time highs of 1,420 yesterday, is settled down at 1,311 today, down about 3% from yesterday's high.
Thank you, as always, to our sponsor, Bitwave. It's almost tax season, so if you're starting to think about your crypto taxes, make sure to check out Bitwave, the complete digital asset management platform that does crypto accounting, bookkeeping, and DeFi as well. So check them out online at bitwave.io or on Twitter at Bitwave Platform. So up first, today was Inauguration Day in the U.S., and Trump pardoned Ripple board member.
Yeah, Ken Kersten, who also runs one of the news platforms out there in the crypto space. He was apparently a family friend of the Trumps. And I guess everything surrounding Ripple has to be a little bit shadier than everything else. And got a pardon. Going rate, people are saying, is about $2 million for a pardon. Wouldn't surprise me if that was handed over. I don't think family friendship meant a lot to Trump, so it's much more likely that this was a cash transaction. Notably, you know, everyone was hoping for Ross Ulbricht, who we've spoken about before. Never met him, but met his girlfriend, met his mom, you know, really nice people at the conferences. We were all hoping that some sort of, you know, pardon, clemency, whatever it was, would have been offered to him, but it was not. Again, that was probably related to money. And probably the funniest thing of the day was seeing Joe Exotic's limo parked in front of the prison where he's being held, because he too was expecting a pardon. But unfortunately, $10,000 was way below the actual asking price. So interesting day, the intersection of crypto and politics.
Yep. So up next, Janet Yellen suggests curtailing cryptocurrencies such as Bitcoin, saying that they are mainly used for illegal financing and terrorism.
God damn it, Janet. Just
I know. I used to be a fan of Janet Yellen.
Yeah, I mean, just give it a weekend. Look at this. We've talked about this so many times on the show, and I will say it again. The number one asset for illegal operations in the world is the US dollar by an enormous amount. Billions and billions and billions of dollars are used. I mean, it's a percentage of the, they basically estimated at something around 33% of the outstanding paper currency is used for legal things. And there's the M1, which is the paper currency market, or they estimate, you know, $100 billion, whatever it is, of that, 30% of that is used for legal goods. The number two asset used for illegal goods and services is the euro. The idea that crypto is even making a dent in that is laughable. I mean, the crypto market cap doesn't even compare to the amount of money that we're talking about here. So, I think this just tends to be older folks in the space, not who don't really understand it, kind of going after something they don't understand. And there you have it.
Yeah. All right, next, Saddle raises $4.3 million for a slippage-free DeFi trading experience.
Yeah, a lot of ways to go after this. You know, people have been trying to approach this with ZK-SNARKs, and looks like with sort of like zero-knowledge proof type operations, it looks like that's what they're trying to do. Now, they were immediately, basically within the hour of announcing their raise, were also accused of stealing a bunch of ideas from different platforms that are already out there. So this was a pretty inauspicious start to the platform. We'll take a closer look at it as it kind of goes forward. We'll take a deep dive into it. That's kind of where we stand.
Next, President Biden freezes FinCEN's proposed crypto wallet regulations.
Yeah, I think it was super interesting that this came out at the same time that the Janet Yellen came out and said what she did. You know, essentially, look, I don't think anyone particularly liked what the Trump what the Trump White House was trying to do around crypto wallets for no other reason than America has an incredibly deep vested interest in remaining relevant in the financial services market. I mean, that is really one of the places we both maintain an enormous amount of soft power within the world, as well as financial power, as well as just GDP. So anything that's stomping on that, it's, you know, you can talk conspiracy theories all you want, but, you know, Republican, Democrat, doesn't really matter. People like, you know, politicians in America like America being a powerful financial force in this world. And getting rid of crypto or moving companies out of the U.S. who are using crypto would not be good for anyone. So this was a incredibly unpopular set of proposed regulations, which would have forced exchanges to essentially do KYC for all of their all of the wallets that you're interacting with and everything, which already doesn't even make any sense. Like, if I send money to a wallet, odds are, you know, if someone is trying to track that later, if someone is actually coming in to track that for tax purposes, they can track that. They're going to guess that I own that wallet. You know, it was a very unnecessary step, and it was just, you know, the whole thing, no one liked it. There was tons of stuff. They put a pause on actually enacting it. So about a week ago, they put a 35-day pause on enacting these regulations. Looks like they're just freezing them altogether for the time being while Biden, I assume, kind of gets his ducks in a row with who's actually going to be advising him on cryptocurrency matters. That's going to be an interesting one.
So crypto startup Amber Group raises $530 million
AUM. Yeah, they reported that they had $500 million under
assets under management, 275% annual increase.
Drop in the bucket. It's, you know, it's interesting. I like this story because it's really a deep view of what's so interesting about cryptocurrency. So a traditional, so Amber is trying to do a traditional institution focused, AUM carry management fee, you know, hedge fund or VC kind of model for managing this. And they have all these, they have a set of retail instruments, but mostly they're institutional instruments. So you are an institution that wants to get exposure to cryptocurrency. You're going to go to these guys and give them money. Aave has $3 billion under management, Uniswap, within their liquidity pools. That is incredible to me that a decentralized smart contract is six times larger than a Wall Street backed. I mean, this is like with a bunch of ex Wall Street guys. Well, I guess they're still for current Wall Street guys, but like Goldman and those types of companies, that like just a bit of code that runs by itself on a blockchain is holding more money, really has more assets under management than a traditional finance firm. That is really, really, really cool. Yeah. And kind of leads into the next story we have here.
Yeah. So the OCC's Brian Brooks thinks that DeFi can root out bias and fraud in traditional banking. He's optimistic that regulators will find ways that these will help the banking industry.
Yeah. I mean, for some reason, this was the government's day to just send out wildly contradicting statements about cryptocurrency in general. So the OCC, obviously, they're the Office of the Comptroller. They essentially control the U.S. currency. We've seen a few statements from them here and there. I think that they, in general, are at the point at which there is an actual move to do a U.S. Digital currency, a real central bank digital currency for the U.S. dollar, it would come out of the OCC. So I think they probably have the most people there that are actually doing the research into it and working on it. So that's probably, you know, you get people looking at this stuff and people get excited because of what you can do. I mean, decentralizing this is not necessarily the biggest part here, but essentially getting rid of the middleman, which is it's a different part of the decentralization piece we don't talk about as much, but removing Goldman Sachs from traditional iBank style instruments or traditional financial instruments that you would not normally have access to, or democratizing access to financial instruments that only, you know, high net worth individuals would have. These are all really good things. Like this is where, you know, multi-trillion dollar industries are born, is removing middlemen and democratize and like basically making easier access. So, you know, people who are working on this stuff see that, get really excited about it, want to find ways that all can work together. It is true. I mean, the blockchain is a permanent record of things. And most of the DeFi work that's happening is not happening on privacy coins or privacy smart contracts. And at the end of the day, it's hard to do this stuff on privacy coins anyways. The beauty of this is not privacy focused. It is the decentralization and the removing the middleman focused. And that is super, super exciting. So we're all happy about it.
Yes, we are. All right. Well, that'll do it for today. Thank you, as always, for listening to the DeFi Daily.
All right. Take it easy.